Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Shishi, we begin the sixth chapter in the Rambam Hilchos Shavuos and the Laws of Oaths and the Seif Afla, which in this Perek the Rambam discusses the halacha of bimater, of permitting the Shavua, permitting the oath. As the Rambam begins halacha alf regarding this possibility of releasing the oath. As the Rambam says, Mishin Nishba Shavuos Bitri, if someone took, and specifically Shavuos Bitri, unlike some other oaths, which the moment you say it, it's already violated, someone swore an oath of utterances. But now he regrets having made that oath. He sees that he's going to be in pain if he's going to have to fulfill this oath. Now he has a totally different understanding of the situation that he was, had it been that he was okay, that he had never taken this vow in the first place. Or something happened that he didn't realize that wasn't there at the time when he took the oath. Because of that, he retracts, he regrets having taken the oath. So the halacha is, Hariza Nishal Chacham Echad. You go and ask to a sage, or to three regular people where there's no sage, and they release him from his oath. And then he's going to be permitted to do the thing that he had sworn that he's not going to do, or to not have to do something that he swore that he is going to do. And this was known as the release of the oaths. So it's Ram Halacha Beis B'Davazah. Now this thing regarding the Halacha of Heter Shavuos, in Le'ika Klal, but Tarsha Beis Ab, there's no source primarily in the written Torah. Elakach Lamdu B'Mesh Rabbeinu M'Piyak Abala. Rather, this is what they learned from tradition, from Mesh Rabbeinu, that Shezeh HaKasav, that this is how you have to interpret. And it says in the Pasuk, Midbar Lo Yachal Devar, you shouldn't desecrate his words, which means that he himself should not desecrate derech kal shroish b'shat nefesh in an arrogant way, in a lightheaded way. Like says the pasuk in Yikra, that you're going to desecrate the name of Hashem, your God, which is here in the context there's talking about where someone swears falsely. But the inference is, yeah, he's lo yachal devaroi, aval im nichem achazba, but if he regrets and he retracts, chacha matrlai, a sage could release him, so it's lo yachal devaroi, he cannot be meichel his own words, but acher meichel noisai, which is that of the sage. Now, in halacha gimel, ve'eino demiochel ahat teshvuos atzmi, like I said, a person cannot release his own oath, and ve'eino demershai lahat teshvoi neder, and neither could a person permit and release an oath or a vow, even if it's not his own, in a place where there's someone greater than him in wisdom because of honoring that sage. Now, in the place where his own teacher is there, then even though he's the greatest sage, he cannot permit only if it's with the consent and the agreement of his teacher. Now, Halacha Dal Rama explains, how do we go about doing this hatara, this release? This person who took the oath, he has to be the person who comes in front of the sage to release his oath. Whether it was a man who took the oath or a woman who took the oath. And that is, cannot make an agent to go and ask for him from the sage to request a release from his vow. Now, however, but the husband could be an agent for his wife for her regret, because ishtik agufa, it's like they're the same person, and then they permit her from her vow. But this is only if he finds the three people already gathered and he doesn't have to put an effort to gather them. But he cannot initially go ahead and gather them to go ahead and make this bezdin to go ahead and permit her from her oath, because since it's going to be a great effort to gather them, we're going to be concerned that he might add on to the regret that his wife had said, and it's not going to really be a true hataras of the shvua. Therefore, it's only if they were already sitting there he could do that. And ve'ein nasa shlich lahatu neder le'ishter, he cannot go ahead and become a shliach to permit his wife's vow, meaning he cannot be from one of the three people on the bezdin to be matar her neder, because since obviously his wife's vow is difficult on him, we're concerned that maybe he's not going to really investigate her regret so much, and the reason is because a person doesn't see any flaws for themselves, and he might be matared, so therefore he cannot be himself on the bezdin to be matar her neder. Halochei kita matir. Now how do we go about doing this hatara? So Yovah Hanishba L'chacham Hamuvik. So the one who took the vow, took the oath, comes to the distinguished sage, or like we said, to the three regular people, if there's no expert. Vayimini says like this, I made such and such an oath, and I regret it. Vila Isi Deya Shani Mitstarbid of Azad Kayan. Had I known that I'm in so much pain that up until this point it's going to be such a difficulty? Oy she'erli kach v'kach, or that this and this happened to me, meaning this was an outcome that I didn't know at the time that I took the oath. Had I known that was going to happen, lo yisnish, but I would never have made the oath. And had I known then what I know now, lo yisnish, but I would never have taken the oath. And then the sage, Agadol Hashleisha Emelay, or the greatest of that group of three, tells him, did you already have a regret? And he says yes. And Chalitza Vaimelai, so then he goes back and he says to him, Sharalach, it's permitted to you, or different terminology, Mutalach, it's released for you, or Machalach, or it's absolved for you, it's pardoned for you, Chalki Yitz bin Yizel, whatever means that same idea, B'chaloshin, whatever language it is. Now, but if he says to him, not Mutalach, but Mufralach, it's nullified for you, or your oath is uprooted, or anything that has a similar type of connotation, then the sage has not said anything, because the terminology of afara sounds like without reasoning. And so to Akira sounds like just forcibly, without any logic. Now, that taras nadarim of the sage is based on the emotional regret of the person that has a reasoning to it. And because she'ain mefer, because the halacha of hafara is ela habaloi av, that's only the force of the husband or the father, that they could uproot the wife or the daughter's neder without any logical reason, even against their will. So hafara would only be make sense by a father or husband, but by the sage it has to be a hatara type. Avol hachacham. And oimei alashon hatara mechil, like we said, but the sage could only see a terminology of release or that of absolution, of the pardon, which is, it's like, okay, based on what you're saying, we're going to release you, but again, it's not undoing it, which that is only like hafar that the husband or the father could do. Halach above now, hakraven, relatives, kishayim lahatim nedarim shvus, they are valid to go ahead and do hataras nedarim shvus for their relatives. Umatim alai, they could even permit it at nighttime. Umumah, they could even be standing, because she'en ahetar azadin, this absolution of this release of the oath is not a judgment, because judgment is not valid with relatives and cannot be done at nighttime. Again, the judge has to be sitting. He was not a judgment. It's rather like a ruling regarding what's permissible and what's not. Now the fikach, therefore, since it's not a din, so neshal neshvus will endarm b'Shabbos. You could also go ahead and ask for a release from the oath and the vow on Shabbos, which generally you're not allowed to do a din on Shabbos, but as long as there is a Shabbos need. For example, so that they should permit his oath that he should be able to eat and drink today. And this, even if he had time and opportunity to release his oath or vow from Erev Shabbos, still, he could release it on Shabbos. Since there is at least a Shabbos need, because if there was no Shabbos need, then one would be forbidden to go through this effort just simply as tircha for a weekday purpose, but as long as there's a Shabbos purpose, it's permitted since it's not a din on Shabbos. Now, halacha zayin, Reuven sheshbi l'shimen v'on the amen. Let's say Reuven made Shimon take an oath, meaning he said a terminology, that I'm sending this oath on you, v'on the amen, and Shimon answers amen, which is consent, or he accepts the oath. And then Shimon, who had received and acquiesced to that oath, he regrets having taken that oath, and he wants to ask to permit it. So then he could only release the vow only in front of Reuben, who had made him take that oath. So to Nishba Reuben another, let's say a similar case where if Reuben took an oath or a vow, that he's not going to benefit from Shimon, or that Shimon's not going to benefit from him. And he regrets it, and he goes to the chacham to be matter the neder. He could only be matter, only release that vow from the Shimon, who he had taken the vow from, that he had made the vow of benefit from him. And even if Shimon was a minor or a Gentile, it doesn't make a difference. You could only release it in front of him, so that the one who had been the subject of the vow should know that this person permitted the vow or the oath. And therefore he could have benefit from it, or he could give him benefit, again, that they should know that what's going on over here, it looks like someone's doing something wrong, that it's not, that he was matan neder, but that all the parties involved who had been part of the oath knows that this was released. Halacha ches, the Ram continues regarding a situation where the hatas nedarim would be limited because of the shavuas al das rab. Says Ram, echan anishba b'nei l'bin asma. Now, whether someone takes the oath by himself, whether he does it in front of many people, And even if he takes the oath in the name of God's ineffable name, Bashem Lekeisol, and Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, the Nicham, and he regrets it. Okay, Haritz Nishal Shabbos, he's allowed to go ahead and request a release regarding his oath. Materially, and they permit it for him, they release him. Now, Benishba al Das Rabim, but if he takes the oath based on the intent of the public, Oishanod al Das Rabim, so either that Ashvu, or Neder, or that he took a vow al Das Rabim, oh, then Ematirin Loilam, then we don't release his vow forever. Because it's not up to his regret, and it's not based on what he would have known, because it had nothing to do with his das, it was on their das. El Dvar Mitzvah. One exception is, for a mitzvah purpose, because most definitely we could presume that the Rabbim would permit him to go ahead and release him from this vow, if it's for him to be able to fulfill a mitzvah. As Rabbim says, and Halacha Tes Ketzer Haso. Nishba, let's say he takes an oath. V'talish Shabbos Rabbim, and he makes his oath dependent on, not on my own consent, on the consent, and the willingness, and the understanding of the public. That he should never have benefit from that person forever. Now, meaning that, let's say, whether he be that person or whatever, that the person's not going to, that no one's going to benefit from him anymore. The problem is the people of the city need that person to learn Torah, or he's the male of the town, he's to circumcise their children, or someone that gets slaughtered for them. The only one they find is this person, but he's the subject of the vow. So his initial chacham leshlosh adyeta. So then he could go and ask to the sage or to the three common people. Umetirin leshvasa, and they can permit him his vow, of his oath. Why? Because like we said, although das rabim we're not matrid, but if for a mitzvah purpose, then we are. And then va'isla mitzvah elin, he could do for them these mitzvahs, would be to teach Torah or to do the bris milah or to slaughter for them. And v'naitel schar ma'isam anashim shenish b'shlohim, and he could take payment wages from the people who had sworn they're not going to benefit from him, because again, for the mitzvahs that they need from him, that they're allowed to be matur that neder. Halacha Yudram continues regarding a way of hataras nedarim through the doing of the courts as misha nishba. Let's say someone took an oath. Unlike what we were saying up until now, he had regret and he wanted to be matur neder. No, he doesn't regret his oath. And actually, Volov has l'kam shavasa. He's coming to court to substantiate his oath. So Imra Hadayanin, if the court judges the see Shahata Shivuzu, that releasing this oath, Garim Lamitz, actually causes mitzvahs. Ulasham bin Ishlash actually would bring peace amongst the husband and wife. Ubin Amlachabir, whether between him and his friends. Vishakim Shivuz, and to the contrary, fulfilling this and substantiating this oath, Garim Lavabliktat will actually cause to sin and to discord. So then personally Pesach, this is what's called of making a Pesach. We open up for him an opening that to give him that to give an opportunity that he should say, "Oi, I never knew that. If had I known that, I would never have taken the oath." Comes out that that will be uprooting his oath from the beginning. And we discuss. There's a back and forth with him. And we let him know. We notify him regarding the things that his oath can cause, that it could cause a whole host of problems. Until he has regret. If he regrets based on what they told him, so then they release his oath. If he doesn't regret, and he still stays in his opposition, then he has to fulfill his oath. Let's say he swore that he's going to divorce his wife. He's not going to let Jews have benefit from his assets. Or he's not going to eat meat or drink wine for the next 30 days of things like that. So I'm going to tell him, Bani, my son, in Tegarsha Sishtachov, you're going to divorce your wife. You're not thinking ahead. People are going to start spreading rumors regarding your sons. The people are going to say, why do you think the mother of these boys got divorced? Must have been something inappropriate, and they're going to start questioning the paternity of his children. And tomorrow, meaning at a future time, they're going to start calling them B'nai Gerusha. Oh, they're the sons of the divorced woman. And maybe she's going to get married to someone else, you're not going to be able to remarry her anymore. Once she gets married to someone else, the person's forbidden to take back his former wife. But kids with the male, they tell him all these types of things. And also the other case, this that you swore that you're not going to let any Jew have benefit from your assets. Problem is, tomorrow at a later time, this person that you swore off is going to need money. But you're going to be violating the pasuk of Yikud that says you have to support your brother with you and you have to give him what he needs to survive. And you can't because you took an oath, and you're going to be violating the halacha because you can't give him tzedakah. You're going to be violating the pasuk of Barm of opening up your hand and sharing with Ketzaban. And we tell him all these different types of things. And also, the other case we described, this that you swore, you're not going to eat meat, you're not going to drink wine for the next 30 days. but you're gonna, it's gonna come out a Yom Tov in the next 30 days. Mevatel Simchas Yom Tov, you're gonna nullify the joy of the holiday, Va'enik Shabbos, and every 7 days is Shabbos. You're not gonna have the delight of Shabbos. So Imam, if he says, oh, Ilo Yisideh, oh, had I known all the things you tell me right now, Lo Yisin Nishba, I would never have taken that oath. So then materialized, so then they release his oath. And that's because of this halacha of charata. The Imam, but if he says, Afa Pikein Lo Nechamte, even so, I don't have any regrets. But Reitzin Bechazen, and still I want to keep this oath. Im Materialized, then we do not permit, we do not release his oath. Now, Lochid Beis, says the Rambam, Ein Paischin Banailud. We said there's two things. We had started off regarding if the person has his own regrets, and then we were able to do Hataras Nadar. And that's because based on as if it was a misunderstanding in his oath. And then we said that let's say he doesn't have regret, but we are make Pesach, and we open up for him, we try to get him to do that. So that, in this halacha, the Ram is telling us that we don't open up as a court, as judges, to this person who took an oath regarding something that wasn't there at the time that he took his vow, and that only happened at a later point in time. Ketzer, how so? Let's say Nishbash Lo Yohanim Beplein. Let's say he took an oath that he's not going to have benefit from that person. But Benasa Seifir, then that person became the town scribe, which everyone needs a town scribe. You can't do any writing anything that you need. So Hayil B'Loi Nichem Hashem Asa. So since this person really doesn't regret his oath, he wants that not that benefit from that person. But if only that person wouldn't have became the town scribe. So Ein Paischin L'Medavazeh, so such a thing of what's called Noilid that only happened at a later development, we as a court don't open up with that thing to tell him, like saying, hey, you know, do you realize that now you're not going to be able to get any more writings from the town scribe? We don't open up with that. The fellow Amahu Me'atzman, now even if he says on his own, Ilisideh, had I known, Lo Yisin Nishba, would never have taken such an oath, Ein Materin L'Leh, we don't release his oath, because he still didn't regret, there's no regret in the actual oath, because El Ritzayin Shleih Hanleh, he still wants not to have benefit from that person. But the Shleih Sizeh Sefer, he also wants that person should not be the scribe. Now, in contrast of L'mnichem Hu Me'atzmei, but let's say on his own, he regrets from the whole thing, even without the sage opening up for him with different statements to regret. And M'nehanoil, because of what ended up happening, B'nefch Adaitai, so actually, he changed his whole opinion. He's thinking to himself, oh, if only I would never have taken this neder, because the guy became a cipher, and he now that he's a cipher, he wants that benefit from him. So then, Matirin Lo, then we actually release his oath. V'chein kriyas b'zeh, anything like that, where it's coming from his own and he's regretting it, not just that, like, oh, okay, I have no choice. What am I going to do now? Because he's still not regretting it. If it's coming from the court or even on his own, but he doesn't really want to have benefit from him, he just doesn't want him to be the cipher. Then we don't release. It's only if he regrets the whole taking of his oath, then we matter his shvu and his neder. Now, Lochi Gimel Ramta continues regarding how to release when there's more than one oath. Misha Nishbal Davar, someone takes an oath regarding something. V'nishba Shliyat Shvuzu, and then he swears that he's not going to release that oath. And V'nichem, now he regrets. So, Hariz Nishal Al Shvua Achrein Netchila, what he does is, at first he requests a release on his later oath, first, Shenishba Shliyat, that he swore that he's not going to be matter the nether. Then he goes and asks regarding the first one, because obviously, if he would ask on the first one first, he'd be violating his second oath, which he says he's not going to be matter. So at first, he asks matter the second oath that he's not going to be matter, and then he could do the first one. Let's say he swore, I'm not going to speak with that person. And then he later swore that if he's going to go ahead and request regarding this oath and be matter it, if I ever undo this, well, I'm going to be forbidden to ever drink wine at all. Now, V'nichem, he regrets both of them now. He wants to be able to speak to that person. He doesn't want to be forbidden to wine forever. So, Harizah Nishlal Shvuah, who is showing the material here, you have to first ask regarding undoing the first oath. First, V'achach Yishal HaShniyah, and then you could go ahead and undo the second oath. And the reason for that is, She'im HaTirim Nedoy Shvuah Shadayin L'Chol, you cannot release an oath or a vow which didn't take effect yet. And the second one only takes effect when the first one. He only said, if I release the first one, then I swear that I'm going to be forbidden wine forever. So it's only when he releases the first one that then the second one takes effect. So you can't release the second one unless you first do the release of the first one, and then it'll take effect, and then you can release it. The Vikr, therefore, similarly, Im Haya Amid Benisan, let's say he was in Chedesh Nisan, Benish B'Shal Yechel Basar Shleish Mir Mir Chedesh Ir, and he swore that he's not going to eat meat for 30 days from Chedesh Ir and onwards. Benichem, he regrets having taken that oath. In initial Achikon Seir, so he can't undo, he can't request a release of that oath in Nisan, because it didn't take effect yet until Rosh Chodesh Iyar. When it takes effect, then they could go ahead and release them. Halachat Hazvav. Nishbash lo yohane lepleini. Let's say he swore that he's not going to have benefit for that person. And not only that, he swore, I'm not going to have that person to benefit from me. And you know what? I'm not going to have give benefit to the sage who I'm going to go ahead and request to him regarding releasing this oath. So here, nishal al rishayna. So here, similarly, he has to first make a request on the first oath of that guy. And only then could he make a request regarding the second vow. Because again, you can't be matter the shvud, it didn't take effect yet. The second oath was only when he's going to ask that sage to release the first one. And that sage is going to be forbidden to have benefit from me. So you can only release that when it takes effect, which is only when he releases the first one. So you got to first release the first one and then release the second one. So talachat hazayin. Nishbash leihanu lepleini. Let's say he swears that he's not going to have benefit for that person. Not going to give benefit to that person. Varehu nazir im yishol ashbuzu. And you know what? And if I ever go ahead and undo this oath, he says, well, I'm going to become a nazir. So, and he regrets both. Yishol ashbuzu tchila. So first, he should go ahead and request regarding his initial oath of forbidding this person from having benefit from him. Va'akech al nizru. So then he could go ahead and try to undo the oath of nazir, which takes effect immediately when he's mata the first nether. And because it only took effect after the release of the first one. So you can't release the Nazirs before you release the first one. And again, and anything that's similar to this idea, like we said, it's only when it takes effect. Let's say someone says he swears he's not eating today. And again, I swear I'm not going to eat today. And again, I swear I'm not going to eat today. Or similarly, if he said, let's say, I kick on this loaf of bread, he says, I swear I'm not going to eat it. I swear I'm not going to eat it. I swear I'm not going to eat it. Now, so again, he took three vows in the same idea. V'nishal shvu rishayin v'hutara. Now, he went to make a request to release the first vow, and he released it. So, harizachai mishum shvu shniyah. So, he's still liable for the second oath. And mechin nishal shniyah. So, to be released the second one, well, chai mishum shlish, he's still liable for the third one. Now, nishal shlish is bovad. Let's say he only makes a request on the third oath. Now, although generally one cannot be matur shvu, like we said, until it takes effect, and you can't take effect because you're already obligated because of the first Shavua. Well, this is what's called Tluy Vemedes. Because if you're going to release the second one, then it'll take effect. So then you could already make a request in it because even though you didn't do it on the second one yet, but it's like it's there. So if he only releases the third one, well, Chai Mishum Rishayin Nishniyah. So then you're still obligated because of the first and the second vow. Nishal Shniyah, let's say you make a request regarding the second one. Okay, Chai Mishum Rishayin Nishniyah. Then you're liable for the first and the third, if you only permitted the second. If you permitted the second and third, you'd be chayav only for the first one. So, imkim mepnei ma'amr, so then says the Rambam, if that's the case, then why did they say ein shvu chal ha-shvua? How do they say that an oath does not take effect in another oath? Didn't we say that you're taking, I'm not going to eat today, I'm not going to eat today, I'm not going to eat, and you're saying that all three are taking effect? And that we're saying that depends on what your matri, you still have the other ones that are in effect. But I thought once you took an oath, another oath and the same idea cannot take effect. Says the Ram, that's only shimlo nishal ba'achol. That's if you did not make a request to release the vow, the oaths, and you ate that loaf of bread. That we're saying in the chayav al-achol is only going to be liable only one. K'mesh bi'anu, like we explained already in Perek Da Halacha Yud. For that is what we're saying ain shvua chal al shvua. Well, you're already forbidden based on shvua. You can't make it forbidden again. But regarding to the fact that the shvua is there, like we're saying tluy v'medis, that if you release the first one, the second one will then take the place and say, no, it's still forbidden because of the second one, and the second one's released, still forbidden as the third one, that it is in effect, it's only the punishment, the liability is not going to be there, it's only going to get one, and not get more than that. Halachi Tches, the Ram continues, regarding how far can we go in timing of releasing the oath, as long as it wasn't yet completed. As Ram says, Mishin ish b'shvu is bitul haba. Let's say someone took an oath of utterances regarding something in the future. And he lied in his oath. For example, he swore he's not going to eat this loaf of bread, and he ate it. And after that he ate it, before he brought his carbon, if he did it by mistake, then he's chayav carbon. Before he gets lashes, if he had done it deliberately. He regrets having ever made the oath. When he goes to the sage, and he releases it from him and says, you're right, it's like you never made this oath. Here's a potter, not carbon. So he's actually exempt from that carbon or from the lashes because it's like he never violated because it was never there. Not only that, even if they already bound him to give him lashes for having deliberately violated his shvuas b'itoy, v'nishal, and there's a chacham there, and he asks him v'tiruloi, and he releases him before they started giving him lashes. In contrast, if they already did, then he's already got it; it's already completed. But if he didn't start giving him lashes yet, then actually Harizah Potter is going to be exempt because it turns out that there never was an oath over here to have had him like he did to have violated by having eaten that loaf of bread.